How have you been?
Hi, Sophie. I'm not bad, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. In typical British style, I'm not really enjoying the weather we've had recently. It's been so cold down here. Has it been the same for you?
Yes, it has. We actually had hail today,
Did you?
which is not typical spring weather. Well, it is, but in April,
Yeah.
that's the kind of weather you have in April. It's not the kind of weather you have in May.
Yeah, my phone always reminds me of, years ago on this date, and it's kind of barbecues and things.
I know.
So, I'm having to go out in a coat at the minute, so I'm not enjoying that.
Me too. I had tights on yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah. I mean, last year was unusual because it was so hot from April all the way up to what, October or something?
Yeah.
And just no rain at all.
The landscape began to look a bit like Spain or Portugal, did you find?
Yeah. Very thirsty kind of grass everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah. But it was nice. Like, I'm not complaining about last year, but I will complain about this year.
Yes. I don't know. I think as Brits, we just can find anything to complain about when it comes to the weather.
Yeah, it's too hot, too cold.
Yeah.
It's too cloudy. Yeah, there's always something wrong.
How about did you find the weather in Korea when you lived over there? Did you kind of Could you cope in the heat of summer?
No, it was so, I mean, the area where I'm happiest is a very, very small area. You know, I don't like to be too hot and I don't like to be too cold. So when I was in Korea, it was, as our listeners know, very hot in the summer and very cold in the winter. A different kind of cold though, but also a different kind of hot.
Yeah.
You know, they have a wet hot, which is absolutely boiling, and we have a wet cold, which is really, really awful. So it was a dry cold there and a wet heat, and it was just unlike anything I'd experienced before.
Yeah. I remember when if I kind of walked out when I lived in China, it was very similar. So you'd walk to the shop and it was just horrendous. A 100-meter stretch
Yeah.
was just awful.
When the humidity is high, you feel like you're just swimming through the air. Yeah, absolutely
Yes.
awful. So what have you been up to?
Oh, what have I been up to? A lot of paddleboarding actually recently,
Oh,
even
really?
despite the cold.
Wow.
I figured it's May, so yeah, I've got the paddleboard out.
So where do you do that?
Lakes mainly.
Wow. Do you go wild swimming as well?
I do not.
Oh.
No, my sister's a big fan of that, and I think she's trying to convince me to do that, but I
Right.
don't see the fun in that, if
Oh,
I'm
right.
honest. Have you ever tried that?
I have, but I absolutely hate my feet touching anything under the water.
Yeah.
So I get quite scared. I don't mind swimming in a swimming pool, and I don't really mind being in the sea if I can see what's down there. But in a river or a lake, I don't know. I find it quite scary. I have done it, but I find it quite scary.
Yeah. I was actually I think psychologically traumatized by Jaws as a child.
Me too.
So I'm the same. I'm awful with water when I can't see the bottom.
Yeah. Even in a swimming pool, I get scared sometimes thinking
Yes.
about sharks.
Same.
It's so
Oh my
stupid.
gosh. I'm so glad I found another person who does that.
The generation traumatized by
I
Jaws. Yeah.
know. Yeah.
So
How
funny.
about you? What have you been up to in this cold weather?
Well, I was ill for a couple of
Oh
weeks,
no.
so I haven't done a lot, but my husband and I have been watching some great TV and some films. And we watched a Korean film recently, which I'd seen before, but he hadn't. It was JSA, Joint Security Area. Have you seen it?
I haven't. No, is it quite an old film or?
Yeah, it's from the 90s. It's a Park Chan-wook film. And yeah, my husband had never seen it before. And it's about we call it the DMZ, but it gets called the DMZ over there. You know, the point where the two Koreas meet. Obviously, all our listeners are like,
Yes.
yes, we know. And it's an
Yes.
interesting film. It's got Lee Byung-un and Song Kang-ho in, if you know them.
Oh,
They're two
amazing.
pretty famous actors.
And how does your husband feel about kind of watching a film with subtitles? Because I know a lot of British people are very against this.
Yeah, I've been getting him into Korean films. So we watch a lot of Korean series as well, like Physical 100 and things like that. So he's getting used to the sounds of Korean. Sometimes he repeats
Yes.
what they say, which is quite sweet. But he doesn't mind watching with subtitles, but I think we're not sure. He might be slightly dyslexic, so it isn't super easy for him. But he will do it for, you know, he'll do it if the film's good. so he doesn't mind. How about you?
Yeah, recently, actually, I love watching films with subtitles. I think, again, it's kind of a thing in Britain where people are quite anti that.
Some people are, I think.
Yeah, as soon as you've tried it a couple of times. Yeah, so I've watched quite a few Korean films and dramas.
Mm.
But so this kind of brings us onto our topic today. So the article we're looking at, where you should have a link to, is all about kind of how Korean culture is starting to go global these days. So there's kind of an increasing fascination around the world about Korean music, dramas, food, beauty products.
Mm.
So it's all becoming a bit of a global trend. So why do you think Korean culture has taken off on this kind of international stage?
It's an interesting question. I think, especially in the UK, we didn't know much about South Korea in the past. You know,
mm.
I know the US has a strong link to Korea with the war, and they have a lot of military personnel over there. But people in the UK have never had any kind of link to Korea at all, South Korea.
Yeah.
All we hear about is North Korea, right, in the news.
Yes.
So when I was living in Korea, people in England would say to me, oh, North or South?
Yes.
I'm not living in North Korea. But sometimes when Koreans come here, South Koreans come here, people say, oh, you're from Korea, North or South. And Koreans are quite shocked.
Yeah.
But I think over the last 10 years, that's really changed. And it started definitely with Korean films.
Yeah.
Because Korea has such a strong film industry. That's one of the reasons I ended up wanting to go there, because I watched a few films, you know, after university, and I was like, whoa, this, you know, these films are amazing.
Yeah.
And that gave me like a way into understanding a bit more about Korea. But now I think it's because it's so many different areas.
Yeah.
You've got K-beauty, you've got amazing food, you've got films, you've got music.
Mm.
And through all these different areas, people are starting to realize that Korea is this like very culturally rich, interesting country living in the future.
Yes.
And people are kind of thinking, oh, what, you know, what's this amazing place? So I think it's because there've been so many different things, I think,
yeah.
So many different areas that Korea has come out really strong yeah. in. And what do you think?
Because it's interesting. I suppose I first heard kind of about K-pop definitely about 10 years ago, perhaps. Mm. But that was over in, right. in China. So, it's interesting. This article actually does say it kind of has begun with K-pop. And I was kind of thinking at our kind of British scene, the music scene at the minute, are we kind of lacking in some bands? I couldn't actually think of a band at the minute.
Don't ask me. I'm like an old lady.
Well, yeah, I mean, growing up, we had the classics like Westlife and Take That. But then there was One Direction. But I couldn't really think of any bands at the minute that kind of create that
yeah.
that hype. And so I don't know if kind of K-pop idols and the bands are kind of filling that gap in the market.
I definitely agree with you. I think that it's kind of not cool in British culture, you know,
yes.
to do it. Like yeah. when you mentioned Take That, that was back in the 90s, right? And I was a teenager,
yes.
a very young teenager at that time.
Exactly.
I did actually go to a Take That concert at Wembley.
Yes.
The highlight of my life that year.
Yeah.
But it's kind of not that cool to do it anymore.
No.
And I think younger fans like people more like solo artists like Taylor Swift and people like that. But then suddenly you've got these K-pop groups who are coming over, and they are doing that. And the way they're doing it is actually really cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, the dancing is better, you know, and sort of, I think it gives people a way to like that again.
Yeah.
In a way that's kind of still cool. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Oh, 100%. The only, can you remember Blazing Squad in the 90s? And it was a team of like 10.
Was that the 90s? I feel like I was a bit old for them then.
Maybe.
I feel like that was maybe the 2000s.
Yeah, like about 10, wasn't it? And because obviously maybe. A lot of the K-pop groups are much larger
mm.
than the groups we would have here. I'd say 5 would be maximum. But yeah, like you said, the kind of dance routines here would be kind of considered really uncool now.
Yeah.
For bands to do, unless they were kind of around a young band, I guess.
Yeah.
But I couldn't really think of any, yeah, present bands, which was quite a shift in
yeah.
trends, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly don't know that much about pop. That's the thing.
Mm.
But I have heard of K-pop bands, current K-pop bands,
mm.
which shows you that they are kind of everywhere here.
Yeah.
If even I've heard of them. Even my parents, you know, have heard of like, my parents who wouldn't come and visit me in Korea because they didn't know anything about it, which is very annoying because I wanted them to come. You know, even they saw like Gundam Style, you know,
yeah,
and stuff like that, and Squid Game and things. So I think, well, they do mention in the article, she does mention K-pop being the first thing. I personally, for me, it was films. It was the Korean film industry.
It was for me as well, the dramas.
Yeah, but I think K-pop really brought things, really pulled things forward. And because of that, people started thinking, oh, this is a Korean restaurant, let's try that.
Yes.
And all of the, a lot of Koreans had come here and started Japanese restaurants and sushi restaurants.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I would, after I'd been to Korea and came back, I would go to a Japanese restaurant and be like, this is not a Japanese restaurant, actually. Yeah. Hang on, this is a Korean restaurant.
Parading as a Japanese restaurant.
Yeah, but people didn't know what Korean food was.
Yeah.
And then within the last 10 years, Korean food has really taken off in the UK and now people love it.
Mm.
So I think there has been this huge shift definitely over the last 10 years.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I also want to ask you, because obviously you lived over there, I am intrigued about K-beauty, if it is kind of as good as the as it's kind of made out to be.
I think it is. I actually loved it. The only problem I had was a lot of the moisturizer and stuff. And remember, this my experience goes back to 2009 to 2012, so things might be quite different.
Yes.
But I did love Korean beauty. It was affordable and it was really great. I loved the masks and stuff. But when I was buying stuff like moisturizer, I had to be really careful because a lot of it was whitening.
Yes, I had the same issue in China.
In China, yeah. Did you? Yeah. So I really didn't want to get like whitening face cream.
Yeah.
So I had to be quite careful. I mean, you know, you could read it on the packets in Hangul. It was just like whitening.
Yeah.
But I loved all the beauty products, yeah. Honestly. And it's great that we have them here, but they are a bit more expensive.
Yes, that's the problem, isn't it? It's
yeah.
Hype generates that kind of that price tag, definitely.
But it does feel like Korea is kind of leading the world in terms of, you know, like culture and products at the moment.
100%.
Yeah, which I'm happy about. I think it's great.
Mm. Do you think kind of on the flip side, I think some people might say, is it authentic? Is it glamorizing? Is it realistic? Kind of the portrayal through dramas and films?
That's an interesting question. I don't know, really. I think you're never going to get a realistic portrayal of something unless you're watching a documentary, really. Yeah. So I think, you know, anyone who watches like an American TV series or a British TV series has to know that they're not getting a true reflection,
yes,
of British life. And I think, you know, you watch a K-drama and you know it's like, you know, the traditions are there and the, you know, the setting is the same and the food is there, but you know that what you're seeing isn't, you know, not every rich woman is like, can't find love and is going to fall in love with like a poor man, you know? So I think people can see that.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Did that answer the question? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think so. I think something I really love about the kind of the K-dramas and the films is just how many twists and turns there are. I mean, if you look at Parasite, you just wouldn't have that kind of story plot, or not one that I can think of, in a British film, you know, kind of, and same with Squid Games. Like it's, I don't know if some people are kind of drawn to that kind of, I hate to say it, level of gore or kind of, just shock.
Yeah. I mean, the first Korean films we got here were like they were under this distributor that said they were called Tartan Asia Extreme. So we only got the most extreme films originally. And so we got like Old Boy, you know, the Park Chan-wook like Vengeance trilogy and stuff. And those were the first films I saw. And I didn't love that extreme nature of them, but I did love how cinematic they were and how clearly developed like the Korean film industry was. And that led me to find other Korean films that weren't, you know, the extreme kind. But that kind of stuff does get pushed out, you know? Yeah. Like people across the world do like these extreme things.
Yeah.
And that kind of can sometimes be a bit of a way, I think, to get people, you know, if you're putting out a lot of extreme film and TV, people will watch it. But then they might discover the rest of, you know, the rest of your culture through that, I don't know.
Exactly. And it's just something lovely about kind of more people watching these films. And they'll inevitably pick up the language and, you know, just hearing the language.
Yeah.
And I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Exactly, and a bit of culture and a bit of tradition.
So if you find this interesting, we will attach the article or the link for the article below. And please join our BritSent membership for the English Korean transcripts with key expressions.
Great.
So thanks, Hannah. And I'll see you next time.
Yeah. See you next time.